Hello, and welcome to today's VC Task Force Gary's Picks event for investors and startups. My name is Joel Rosenberg, Director of Business Development and Strategy for VC Task Force. VC Task Force is an organization where the venture community comes together to address critical issues, provide workshops and other events for the benefit of the venture and entrepreneurial communities. VC Task Force provides access to an extensive ecosystem of VCs, corporate VCs, and angel investors. You may ask questions anytime during today's event, and time permitting, they will be answered live after today's interview. It is my pleasure to welcome Gary's Picks host, Gary Fowler. Gary is CEO and co-founder of GSD Venture Studios, an award-winning growth stage AI venture studio. Gary is also co-founder of the award-winning AI startup Eva.ai, as well as the investment firm DY Investments. Today, Gary will be interviewing special guest Lacey Matthews, CEO and co-founder of Nuri Intelligence. Nuri Intelligence is the first preventative behavioral intelligence system designed to help educators and students manage stress, stay focused, and respond more effectively in real time. Powered by neuroscience and AI, Nuri acts as an in-the-moment coach, delivering personalized strategies, predictive insights, and gamified tools that enhance emotional regulation and life skills. With over 18 years of experience in project, program, and portfolio management, Lacey brings a strategic and executional lens to every venture she leads. She holds a bachelor's degree in international relations from UC Irvine, an MBA from Chapman University, and credentials including PMP, Scrum Master, and Product Owner certifications. In addition to founding Pilgrimage PM, an IT project management consultancy launched in 2014, she is also the co-founder and operational strategist at LB Collaborations. Lacey has taught project management at Colorado Mountain College and Westwood College, and she has spent the past 12 years guiding enterprise businesses and tech startups through software product development and delivery. Her leadership combines technical precision, human-centered design, and a passion for innovation shaped by her background as both educator and entrepreneur. Take it away, Gary.
Now, great. Thanks, Joel. Appreciate it. It's great to be here. As Joel said, I'm a serial entrepreneur and been involved in startups for 38 years. So with that, Lacey, great to have you here today. So tell us a little bit about it. How in the world did you go from University of California at Irvine to living in Colorado?
It's a great question. I grew up in Southern California, and I am a UC Irvine legacy. Both my parents went there in the very first graduating class. I have an aunt and uncle, two other cousins. So a big UC Irvine family. So I did my undergraduate degree there, and then stayed in Irvine or stayed in the Orange County area, and did my MBA from Chapman University. And at the end of my MBA, I had the opportunity to travel to Adelaide, Australia. For a few months to do kind of my thesis work on small business consulting and starting successful enterprises on a consulting level.
How was it? How was it in Australia, by the way?
I loved it. I spent most of my time in Adelaide, but then got to tour around and spent a good amount of time in Sydney and then in Melbourne. And honestly, would have it was heartbreaking to get on the plane to come home.
What are some of the cultural differences when in business that you've seen there that are different than here?
You know, I think that I wouldn't necessarily say that there are differences so much as the way that we, directly in the United States approach things very head on. If you are in a conversation about sales, you're going to just directly address that. Whereas my experience in the Australian culture was still very, very quite direct, but a lot more relational. And so when you think about that in the context of consulting, you really want to understand how best to build those great networks, how best to start really leveling up your own practices. And that comes through building relationships and understanding some of that. So I think for me, what I noticed was really needing to step back and be aware of what am I bringing to the table culturally that I don't necessarily see? And how can I make sure I'm as aware as possible of what's going on around me, so that I can kind of shift into that and operate most efficiently. And for me, that was kind of trying to gauge, like, what's the right way to build those relationships.
And what's different? Like, how is it different there compared to here? Like, are there differences in terms of meeting new people? How did they establish business relationships? What did you observe?
Yeah, so the time that I spent there was back in 2007. So we have to keep in context some of the difference technologically in what we're talking about. And the way that consulting businesses would have been started then. So in 2007, we were really focused on kind of establishing those first thoughts about professional social media presence and how, especially in small business consulting, the business I worked most closely with provided corporate training services and custom training. And so a lot of it was at the time really deeply focused on building that digital presence. People were still evaluating, you know, do I need a website? And so a lot of what I felt like was in some ways different was a different openness to embracing some of those newer kinds of technology. Coming out of Southern California, California in general, there was a big kind of natural transition to start embracing those. I remember when Facebook first launched and it was very easy to be excited and transition into that. What I experienced in Australia was different. It wasn't kind of the same willingness to get vulnerable with social media yet. And so as an entrepreneur, as somebody starting a business, there was a very different hesitancy in, you know, is this the right place to have a presence? Is this where people are going to share, you know, weekend party photos versus what I'm trying to convey professionally? And so I think there was a big difference there in the way that adoption happened from the technological perspective.
So tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey. How did you become a co-founder of LB Collaborations and CEO of Neuri Intelligence?
Yeah. So like I mentioned earlier, I am originally from California. I come from a really nice juxtaposition with my parents of my dad was an entrepreneur in manufacturing and my mom's an elementary school teacher. And so I really kind of grew up seeing both sides of you know, sort of what the world might have to offer in who I could be in a career perspective. And I've always been drawn to systems and structure and wanting to understand kind of what are the problems and challenges around me and how can I begin removing, you know, the constraints that we see? What are creative ways that we can begin to solve through that with better systems and structures? And so I moved into technology and originally was really focused on program and project management and worked in education tech for quite some time. I worked with Pearson Publishing for a number of years and then moved into also the technical branch for McGraw-Hill. So I got to really see both sides of how technology and education intersect. And then wanted to be able to have an impact in a different way. And so I took a pause and decided I would start to teach. And that's when I started working with Colorado Mountain College and also Westwood College and teaching primarily project management, but also a lot of kind of intro courses in terms of consulting and entrepreneurship. And so when I took this pause, what I realized was that I didn't like speaking about something that I had no hand in, and I needed to kind of get back in the game. And so that is when I started Pilgrimage PM. It was really intended to be sort of a bulk or a boutique consulting firm focusing on providing project management, program management, and portfolio management services to tech companies. And so I managed Pilgrimage PM very successfully. We had 10 great years growing year over year and working with a variety from really large enterprise clients like Adobe to really unique niche startups and clients in the kind of custom software development sphere where you get to see sort of things evolving at every level. And so then about 2 years ago, I decided it was time to expand. I wanted to make the practice more human-centered. And LB Collaborations was born in partnership with my business partner, Brandon Giles, who really focuses on kind of the facilitation and human-centered strategy side of the house. And I have been running our operational strategy. And so I work with different size organizations and really developing and looking at what are the systems that you need and what fits for you? How do you understand them and think about them? Then in the past year, the Mariana Merritt, my business partner, and I crossed paths in an overlap of kind of a passion for behavioral intelligence and also a background in ed tech. And that birthed what Nuri Intelligence is today.
So how do you balance your time between LB and Nuri?
That is a really great question. And it's honestly something that what I try to do for myself is set very clear goals of where I need to be, when, how, what are those top priorities, and really evaluating that kind of somewhat iteratively to make sure that at any given moment I'm tackling, you know, what is the most prominent problem or what is the priority in this moment? And so being very intentional about managing kind of when I am focusing where, you know, one of the things that we know is that multitasking is really not an effective strategy. It's really hard for the brain to context switch and maintain efficacy. And so for me, what's been very helpful is really managing my focus time and being able to make sure that I'm applying that and then always looking at what is the space that deserves that time now. Because for all of us, time is finite and we've got to find the way you want to spend that precious commodity and what you're going to do to really make sure you make the most of that.
So when you look at it, how do you balance innovation with operational rigor in fast-moving startups?
I think for me, what I have experienced is that it is often kind of it reminds me of somewhat of a three-legged race when you're a child. Mm-hmm. So you need to be moving both things forward together, but they have a bit of a natural friction. Someone who is a systems expert is going to emphasize over and over, like, we need to build this perfectly before we start, and we want to make sure we've mitigated every risk. But also an innovator says, hey, we don't know what the risk is until we've been able to get some voice, get some feedback. We've got to be able to try some things. And so I think we have to see how the ways that we kind of have to bring each other along from those perspectives. And the innovator saying, okay, I need to move this forward. And the operational expert saying, okay, I will come along. Here's the way that we keep shoring up as we go. And really trying to keep those iteratively tied together where possible, but recognizing it's kind of a game of trade-offs. I take a step, you take a step.
In your experience, what's the key to aligning diverse teams to achieve shared goals?
Great question. I think it's probably not one single thing. For me, I think the key to bringing a diverse team together to meet those goals is really, you know, step one, as we always know, is awareness and understanding who we are, what we are bringing to a table, and what are our own goals, finding a common language and making sure that we do understand that. You know, I think we've all had those experiences where someone has said, I need you to bring a torch to a party, and someone shows up with a flashlight and someone shows up with, you know, a wooden stick that you can light on fire. We're using the same words, but have we confirmed our common language? And particularly when we want to bring out the most of a diverse team, we really need to make sure that we are using those common languages and aligning under those common goals, and that we've created a space where we can really kind of, as a group, gut check those goals, where we can speak to whether or not we do think those are aligned and are the right ones, and can we listen to each other quickly and have a space where it is safe enough to identify those pivots as well.
So what problems in Nuri Intelligence is Nuri Intelligence solving, and how are you uniquely positioned to address it? And the next question is, what stage are you at today?
Fantastic questions. So Nuri really was born out of an identification over and over and over again of a behavioral challenge in the United States public school systems. Right now, 84% of schools in the United States are reporting behavior as, if not their top challenge, their number two. We've got more teacher burnout and turnover than we've ever experienced. And it's not just a residual from the pandemic. It's that we have a problem behaviorally that we're unable to solve, and we're seeing burnouts at record levels. And mm-hmm. So Nuri is is really comes together as a solution in recognizing that the way we've tried to address behavior before was in seeing it usually as a discipline problem. We identified it through some behaviorism. And now what we're recognizing is that typically what we thought was a discipline problem is really a nervous system challenge. We are responding to any situation in the moment based on whether or not we're in that space in our minds where we are in fight, flight, or freeze, or are we operating from a place of safety where we can really use our logic and thinking brain? And so what looks like an outburst, a discipline problem, is really a lack of regulation in our nervous system. And the ways we've been trying to address that in the past are just not working. The behavior isn't getting better. So NURI combines tried and true neuroscience interventions and strategies with AI that gives you that coach in your pocket on demand to say, hey, you're in a moment where you just would love to throw your laptop out the window. You know that is not appropriate. You can feel that you can't bring yourself back into calm. What if you could do that in an instant if you had a coach in your pocket with strategies that we are evidence-based? So NURI is that coach really trying to deliver the best strategy that is hyper-personalized to the user. Because we all know that the oxygen mask has to be put on first by the adult in the room. We've got to give them all of the tools possible to put the best oxygen mask on. Because additionally, regulation is social. So when we think about the ways that we solve our own behavioral challenges of a desire to like, oh gosh, my emotions have hijacked my behavior and now I'm responding in anger in a way I wouldn't normally. We've all felt that. But when an adult in a classroom does it, there are 30 children who will replicate because regulation is learned socially. It's not through lecture. It's not through discipline. There's no carrot or stick. It's co-regulation. As children, we borrow calm from our parents. We mimic their calm until we can generate it ourselves. So in a classroom setting where behaviors will surface in all kinds of different ways based on each different student, how do we best support the educator to help them regulate and create that co-regulation? So
what stage are you in today?
We are in early stage. So we are in pre-seed right now. We are about to launch our MVP. So our initial pilot will start in early June. So right now what we are releasing is the kind of the agent or the coaching experience and the ability to start really gathering some of that really robust data. So when we think about a teacher saying, hey, NURI, I have two boys fighting over a ruler. I need them to calm down. We have state testing we're supposed to focus on. We're losing instructional time. We're losing required, like regulated time. And for a stressed out teacher not to have to come up with a solution because they're only going to be able to keep one or two of those in their pocket at the ready. NURI really enables them to have effective solutions that can be then tailored as NURI learns more about each user. We're gathering that feedback. We're hyper-personalizing it. So an exercise for nine-year-old boys, you know, it goes very well when you can frame that in things they're interested in, like Dog Man comic books. And so we're really seeing that.
Did you say Dog Man?
Yes. I have a nine-year-old son, and it's his current favorite book series. It's a really great, fun kids comic series. But so NURI can hyper-personalize exercises to help kids identify, connect, and regulate faster. Again, they're able to mimic the calm. And when an educator doesn't have calm, NURI can bring it for them. So we are in our MVP early stage. We will launch our pilot this summer, and we will be in schools in the fall. In year one, we are very heavily focused on the agent experience and how NURI is able to coach and beginning to gather amazing analytics data to then be further tailoring the strategies and basing them on, you know, multi-tiered systems of support, better ways that we can continue layering this. Because what we're really targeting is lifelong skills. As we become adults, we're no less susceptible to dysregulation. Mm-hmm. Weird things happen and we're thrown off. And sometimes it's even worse because as adults, we have, you know, louder voices, all of those things, we escalate quite quickly. And so when we can start building these skills and strategies and making them part of our day, we really learn to regain and recapture that time. And so the earlier we can start that, the better we do. And so we will then, our next phase, as a means to kind of continue just reinforcing that resiliency, will be to gamify that in the classrooms. We're then going to expand and focus really on ways we can more holistically support it with families. When a strategy works at school, I would love to apply that at home with my son. And so we're able to really deeply make those impacts quickly. And then in the roadmap and in early stage, the thing that I've learned as a founder and in my startup experience is really getting to a place where you can hear those voices as fast as possible to really rapidly respond to what the market is saying. We've got some very great pilot groups who have indicated, you know, the specific areas of focus and what matters most. Nuri will have a personalized habit plan that allows teachers to essentially heat map their day and identify points of friction that we know will happen. Kids always come in from lunch a little bit frazzled because they've had sugar, they've been running around. We know that is a moment where Nuri can provide amazing coaching and cut what might be 10 minutes to get a class to focus down to 2-minute breathing exercise. So we can recapture that time, but we can learn about it and continue evolving the way Nuri supports to keep giving that immediate relief to teachers as quickly as possible.
So what are the biggest challenges, you know, with Nuri that you've had with your startup? What are some of the challenges that you have to overcome, you've had to overcome?
Yeah, you know, we are learning. I think that there are different challenges at each stage and that we all kind of bring to our team different strengths. And I think we have learned really how critical it is to make sure you are surrounded by advisors you can trust, that you have the ability to gauge information, to gauge your thoughts and ideas off of more than just the sounding board in your mind. It's very easy in an early stage to get excited about creativity and you can chase ideas really, really far without listening to, you know, hey, is that going to work? Does that matter yet? Is that what's going to actually move the needle for a user? And so I think early it's really important. We learned quickly to make sure we had trusted voices in the room to help give us guidance where we cannot specialize in everything. You can kind of drive yourself into madness, spreading yourself so thin, trying to become the best at all of the things in a small team. And so it's really important to understand and build a network of people you can trust, of people you can work with, people you can bounce things off of safely, and to learn what does that mean to bounce something safely. We had a big learning curve early on in making sure that we just understand what we're working in the really rapidly evolving world of AI and patenting and trademarking. And that is all on its, like, to a large extent being defined day by day legally. And so one of the things that we had to really rapidly adjust was a recognition that, hey, we need to be very specific in protecting what we do, which means we also need to think differently in the initial investments that we have and how we are allocating those to make sure we're giving more to protection now that we know this. And so that was
Are you filing patents now?
We are actually looking at kind of the difference between some choices of patents versus trade secrets and looking at really what's going to be most applicable and what will fit best in the long run. This is some great insight we've gotten with your friend, Stan Lewandowski, of just really wanting to think critically about what your protection strategy is. Is it
sometimes we forget and you end up later paying the price and nothing
absolutely
good happens, right?
So yeah,
that foundation. So you're going down through it. What advice would you give founders struggling to turn great ideas into actionable, scalable outcomes in just a minute? And then we'll wrap up because we're coming to the top of the show.
I think for me, a lot of it is great partnership. My business partner, Mariana Merritt, comes from a deep and active therapeutic practice. She is a licensed clinical social worker who has been on the ground in schools and who has a deep network of voices that we can and are working with. And so where I come from a deep technical background and bringing vision to life, Mariana brings the side that I can't of what's the voice of the customer. How are we hearing that, responding to it, balancing that, and also tying it back to deep research and therapeutic evidence-based studies. So for me, the real key is finding great partnerships, because with the right people, you can bring any idea to life. With the right voices, the right representation of that in the room, a great idea can become a reality. You just have to identify, do we have those voices? Is that perspective here? And with that group, can we carry this across the next finish line? That has been a huge point of success for us in being able to really tackle challenges and problems and look at them from different angles and solve them in a way that solves the bigger problem we're looking at. We have an absolute behavioral crisis in our education system, and we have solutions in the neuroscience, in strategies that are evidence-based that we know will work. And for the first time with AI, we have a way to create an entire new category of preventative and proactive coaching that absolutely changes that behavioral needle. And we're just getting started.
So what's the best work? Thanks so much for sharing your ideas, Lacey. We appreciate that. And what's the best way for people to get a hold of you if they want to?
Absolutely. You can find us at neuriintelligence.ai, N-U-R-I-intelligence.ai, or you can email me at lacey@neuriintelligence.ai, L-A-C-E-Y.
Sounds great. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. And thanks one more time for all of you for joining one more time, Gary's Picks. My name is Gary Fowler, and I'm your host. Stay happy, stay safe, and stay healthy. And we'll be back to you again soon with another exciting edition. Joel?
Great interview. And Lacey, what you're working on, you know, helping the next generation. Anytime you're working with, anybody's working with kids, it's just, I applaud them. And what you're doing is so critical. So that's wonderful. And with your neurointelligence, we will all stay happy and healthy. And everybody, till next time, take care. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.